with information on the latest developments in assistive technology and initiatives from the studios of 2RPH in Sydney. RPH Australia brings you AbleQuest.
Hello, I'm Barbara Sullivan. In May 2017, a two-day conference was held in Sydney to showcase the progress being made towards building an inclusive society for all in New South Wales. The Live, Work and Play New South Wales State of Inclusion conference had three themes. 1. Employment for people with disability. 2. Livable communities and accessible and inclusive tourism planning. 3. Assistive technology and accessible IT to enhance inclusion for all, particularly people with disability. The conference aimed to highlight the current work in disability inclusion in New South Wales and link with broader New South Wales government initiatives in employment, regional development and open information access. Another aim was to showcase disability access and inclusion in New South Wales and demonstrate and raise the profile of disability inclusion across the state. A further aim was to provide a forum for the exchange of ideas, the development of networks and links across new areas. One of the main conference speakers was Professor Gerard Goggin, the inaugural Professor of Media and Communications at the University of Sydney, a position he has held since 2011. Gerard's research focuses on social, cultural, and political aspects of digital technologies, especially the internet and mobile phones and media. As well as his academic roles, Gerard has had a 20-year involvement in communications and telecommunications policy, including an appointment as a board member of the Disability Studies and Research Institute. A key area of Gerard's research is disability. He has an international reputation for his work with the late Christopher Newell, especially the prize-winning book Disability in Australia in 2005 and Digital Disability in 2003. With Sydney colleague Dinesh Wadiwal and Disability Australia Incorporated, he is developing a disability rights research capacity. This aims to identify emerging rights-relevant research needs within a changing political and social policy landscape and share expertise between researchers and civil society practitioners. I attended the conference and interviewed several of the key speakers. I caught up with Professor Goggin following his address on building digital citizenship. Gerard, thank you very much for joining AbleQuest today. I've just sat through your session on digital citizenship, fascinating concept, and I think one which is not really appreciated at the moment, broadly speaking. Talk to us a little bit about your idea of digital citizenship, and then we can perhaps talk about what's happening in that regard in New South Wales.
Sure. So I think digital citizenship is pretty crucial because we are living lives in societies where for many of the things we want to do, whether that's play, our leisure activities, or whether it's work, whether it's education or trying to make some money, we're using social media, we're using mobile phones, we might be using different kinds of assistive technology or mobility devices to get around. Those mobility devices might be cars, they might be wheelchairs, they might be scooters, a bunch of things. And I think part of the problem for us is that we haven't really thought about citizenship, so belonging in society, making sure everyone's included through the digital area. And then when we've thought about digital citizenship, and this happens in schools, it's about cyber safety. So it's about how do you use the internet when you're 12 or 13, or do you know about privacy, do you know about passwords?
Established protocols.
All fine things. So I have a bit of a mission to say, well, we need a broader concept. So in the same way we think as a citizen we need to participate in electing our government, we need to understand how do we get access to digital technology so we can be participating in a political sense, in political life, or how do we get access to technology so we can make sure we can get into an entertainment venue, or how do we be able to use technology so we can pay the bills or choose our service provider or something like that.
Yes, because if some are locked out of that for whatever reason, whether it's affordability or whether it's inability to be included, they are not representing that sector for whatever reason, politically or whatever.
Yeah, and that's a problem if someone who is on, let's say, welfare support, social support, can't access that because they have to log on to do so. that's the kind of vision of digital government. And that hasn't necessarily thought through, well, is the technology itself accessible? Is it able or not? These are serious questions, and people so far, I think, governments have tinkered around the edges. But there's big implications if you leave people digitally excluded. In some ways, they're being so by design, with new systems being introduced. That means they can't be a customer for a business. They can't do a ride-sharing kind of option. It's harder for them, and it's perhaps needlessly harder when there's a flexibility to digital formats if you can get to them and reconfigure them and design them with everyone's needs in mind, or some sense of their needs, that really we can have a more inclusive society.
In some sense, we're going through the stage of tokenism with digital access, are we? For example, with websites, where people think, oh, well, if I do this, I'm making it accessible. without thinking about the range of disabilities.
Yeah. I think so. I think it's a bit of a mixed picture. I think people have been genuinely trying to work on web accessibility for 20 or so years, but increasingly still there's a bit of a kind of reflex. You think about accessibility and disability, the website pops to mind, and then it tends to be a bit retrofitted or done afterwards. Alongside that, I think there's a lot of really interesting experimentation, innovation efforts going on, but they're a bit of pockets of isolated, but not necessarily joined up. And I think a lot of big organisations, corporates, governments and other agencies, but actually maybe organisations at all scales, are trying to understand how could you rethink things to make digital technology accessible. And it is a bit of a tricky proposition. You know, there's complexity to it. It's cutting now across all areas of life. And so it's hard to actually put together the frameworks and resources you need.
Yes, who wants to grapple with it?
Yes, well, you can do other things.
Yes, I was interested in one thing you talked about, which was the whole of life, digital citizenship, where at the moment in many aged care facilities, for example, or institutions, people are blocked out.
Yeah, I think that's right. So I think we've tended to have this identification of digital and technology and the kind of high tech with certain kinds of users. And, you know, young people, if they know how to program your computer or phone for you. But actually, across the life course, we might use technologies in different ways. And many older people are using technologies. And I had examples recently from colleagues who are researching caregivers who might be in Australia but have family in India, aging parents. Or their parents might be in a care facility in India, but let's say in Australia, and increasingly with aged care, people are going to have to choose their own care packages, a bit like in disability. But when you look at some of these institutions, they still in some way have like a really bad hotel model. You know, the stories are, if you want to use the computer, you go to the business centre, or if you want to use Wi-Fi, you have to pay a hefty premium for them. And so in other areas of life, we'd be like, this is crazy. So I think we need to think across the life course to say, actually, people use technologies in different ways. Let's understand where they use it. And, you know, let's sort this out, that we could say to aged care institutions, say, look, you need to have an option here, just as you do in schools.
So is Australia in a position to really be at the vanguard here in creating policy and mapping this out?
I think so. I think there is that sense in which we still, the concept of the fair go, the strong sense in which people are committed to making sure that everyone is included in society. Also the sense that we have a multicultural and diverse society. We've got some concepts that help us think critically around technology and put good policies in place. And I think we just have to stop being dazzled by the high-tech vision and actually say, yeah, okay, that's fine, that's all this great technology, but what would that actually mean? Will people have access? What do people's lives look like? How can we take a whole of society approach to this digital citizenship concept? How can we make it concrete and meaningful? I think it would be a great contribution. I think in other societies, even in our region, such as Japan and South Korea, we look to this being digitally in the vanguard. They are in some senses, but I think actually we've got some advantages of our own that we should really, you know, try and seize.
So are you going to help drive this with government?
I'm always up for it. I mean, I've worked now for years with a whole bunch of people who care about access to technology. Mm. And I think consumer groups, citizens groups, range of other groups of people who are not well represented in the conversations we have around technology and design of it and should be better represented. So I think I'm one of a number of people who are really keen to say, okay, digital technologies are here. Internet rights is not just about freedom of expression or filtering, the great filtering debate we had with Senator Connolly years ago. Those are important issues, but they're actually about the whole of social life. So yeah, I'm very keen to sort of open that up to see if we can do better.
Good. We'll hear more of it. Thank you very much, Jared.
It's a pleasure.
You have just been listening to AbleQuest, a program that looks at developments in assistive technology. From Barbara Sullivan and Marnie Roper, thank you for listening and goodbye till next program.